Now, as we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, please take notice of the prayer quilt recipients. There are four. The quilts will be in the narthex following the service. Please take time to tie a knot and say a prayer for them. And now what we'll do is we'll take a moment of silence and lift up any concerns to God or anyone that you wish to have prayers for. Please bow your heads with me. Great and glorious God, you are all-knowing and all-caring. Your wisdom and love are infinite. We worship you and anticipate the coming of Jesus. Give us the hope of prophets that we can see the birth of Jesus in us. Give us the love of shepherds that we can love others as Jesus taught. Give us the joy of angels that we can rejoice in the coming of Jesus. Give us the peace of Bethlehem that we can trust in you. Grant us the wisdom of wise men that we may know how to give of ourselves. Lord, you gave us a great and wonderful gift, and you continue to bless us every day. Open our hearts to accept your gift with joy. Help us give to others as you have given to us. Help us pay attention to the needs of others as you have paid attention to our needs. Help us plan how to share your glory with others as your Son Jesus taught us to do. Guide our thoughts and actions that we represent the teachings of Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, hear the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture can be found in Luke chapter 1. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
My name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I'm senior pastor here at Brighton First. It's my pleasure to serve, and it's my pleasure to bring a message, especially in this time of year, and with such wonderful, wonderful words. This is Mary's song, the Magnificat in Latin, because she begins, "My soul magnifies, my soul glorifies the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you be present now in this time, that you might bless the hearing of this word, that you might bless us as we struggle to comprehend, as we work in our lives to accept the gift of you in Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 5 shopping days left, right? It's 24/7, I think, at Kohl's now, so just whenever. You're lying in bed worrying your shopping isn't done, just get up, you know, because you can go. And if you have all of your gifts bought and they're not wrapped, perhaps it is because you are wondering what the perfect wrapping might be. You're waiting for inspiration. Now, I know that on gift opening day, whenever that is for your family, whenever you all get together and celebrate, often the wrapping just ends up all over the place. Bags, bows, ribbons, paper in piles, and you do carefully sift through it for the gift cards and the Barbie shoes, but pretty much anything that you've done that's beautiful, that you've made a great presentation, is kind of tossed out. But even though we know that's going to happen, we take time with the gifts. Some of it's because we want it just to look nice there under the trees. For others, we want to make sure that when people get it, they know we've taken some time to think about it and to make it beautiful. And for some of us, we want them to be surprised, delighted, curious. I was quite amazed to see a gift that George wrapped yesterday when I came home. So to give you the backstory on this, there is a game called Zombicide. Anyone ever heard of it? Oh, great. I'm living in a different world. But anyway, there's this game called Zombicide, as you can imagine. It's about zombies who could, in fact, take over the entire world. And like some of these games, there are extensions to the game. So George's daughter, Christine, said she wanted the Gotham City extension to Zombicide. Yes, Batman gone zombie. And so So we said, okay, we'll get that. We looked and looked online, could not find this game, finally had to turn to someone under 30, and they helped us figure out that the game doesn't really exist, that it was kind of this extension made up by a group of people who just put it out on a blog. Okay, so we go to the blog, and we figure out the thing, and we made the game. We made the cards and these character descriptions. We had to get little Batman and characters and Robin and all the villains. So we had to send away to a company I'd never heard of to get these little tiny pieces. So we get all of this, and it was George's job yesterday to wrap the Zombicide game. So I come back, and this is what he's done. It's brown paper with a leather strap around it. And he's taken ketchup and like smeared it with his fingers and ripped holes in it and then taken the whole box and crushed it slightly. And so here under our tree are these beautifully wrapped gifts, little things dangling from the bows and the zombie side game. And he said to me, it's all in the presentation. I said, all right, thank you. Over these last weeks during Advent, we've been talking about the perfect gift. And obviously, we've been talking about the perfect gift of Jesus. But in the meantime, we've also been talking about those perfect gifts in our lives. At the beginning of Advent, we talked about the whole idea of why do we give gifts? Why did God choose to give the gift of Jesus Christ to us? To offer us love beyond what we can understand, to offer us grace. The following week, we talked about how we give gifts. Well, we begin by paying attention to the people we love and our friends to make sure that our gifts are perfect for them. And we talked about how God has been paying attention to us through the Holy Spirit. God knows who we are, where we've been, and quite honestly, the gift is for us whether we've been naughty or nice. It is a perfect gift for us in Jesus. And last week, we talked about God's plan for this gift that didn't begin at just some random time when God said, well, let's just give them Jesus. The gift began from the word spoken in creation when Jesus was there and carried through. And it was God's plan all the time that we would know salvation, that we would know freedom to love and to care for him and for the rest of this world. And if you've missed any of those messages, you got some time off coming up. Just go to the website for the church and there's a podcast and you can catch up on those. Today, we're talking about presentation because presentation is everything. And don't we want to give memorable gifts? This is just one of the gift pictures that I found on the internet. It demonstrates that you can pretty much just find stuff in your house and throw it around a gift, and you're really styling. You would not believe how many videos there are out there on how to wrap a gift. I mean, if you have trouble with this, there are videos, and I would show you one, but they're all 5-10 minutes long. Why? To wrap a gift, put it in a box, wrap it and put a bow on it, 10 minutes of instruction. So you can find those. I kind of got trapped. Have you ever gone to YouTube and got trapped? And you can't, oh yeah, okay, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I finally stumbled on one I had to watch twice. It was how to gift wrap a cat. It was amazing. I'm talking a live one. The owner just kind of coaxed the cat over to sit in the middle of the paper, and the cat just sat there. I had to watch it twice because I started seriously thinking about doing it with my cat, and I had to watch the technique. So, yeah, you can gift wrap everything. There's instructions on how to do it, and I'll tell you the materials that you can gift wrap. This is just one example up here with the brown paper, but you can take anything. If you still get magazines, you know, you can't really use an e-reader to wrap things in, but if you still actually get paper magazines, newspapers, comics, you can wrap your gift in that. You can wrap your gift in just like whatever's around. And people use containers, so like jars and pizza boxes or takeout containers, of course, not used. And you probably take a cereal box, just throw the gift in there, just put a bow on it. And so there's all kinds of creative ways out there to present gifts. I think my brother Tim, in his younger days, had it down. This is pre-marriage. He found the perfect bachelor wrapping. He found these garbage bag-sized bags that were holiday patterns. And so he came in one year just with all these bags decoratively tied with twisty ties, and he brought them in and just sat them down in the garbage bags. Well, we opened them, and then he carefully took them, flattened them out, folded them, brought them back the next year. So year after year, we would just get these same worn-out garbage bags with his gifts. He got married. That put an end to that. But you may have the way that you wrap gifts. Someone told me after the 8 o'clock service, this is excellent, a member of the family got all of the ugliest pictures they could of their brother, all right? Then they had wrapping paper made with the pictures. And when the brother and his family come for Christmas, all of the other gifts, all of the gifts in their home will be wrapped in that paper. I just thought that was a wonderful presentation idea, and I'm going to steal it. We have this idea of presenting. It shows that things are special. It shows that we are cared for. And I believe that that is exactly what Jesus did in the gift of Jesus. This is amazing, this song. Mary sings this song, and here's the backstory. There's two birth stories happening in the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. The first one is the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest at the temple. They're very old. They have no children, and they're promised that they will have a child. So Elizabeth is celebrating that she is pregnant. Then Mary finds that she will be with child by the Holy Spirit, and she hears that her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. So she travels quite a distance to see her cousin Elizabeth, and they meet each other, and there's this like beautiful thing that happens. Elizabeth, it says, that when she sees Mary, the child she is carrying, who is John the Baptist, the child she is carrying leaps in her womb, and she begins in a loud voice saying this, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." She offers blessing. And after exclaiming and offering blessing, Mary, the first words out of her mouth are a song. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary sings of the gift that will come. Now, she's very clear about what this gift is, and she says it right there in the beginning in verse 47, "My God, my Savior." The gift that is coming is God, as God had promised to save God's people. She talks about God being the one who will redeem the people and then offers this series of reversals, which are pretty characteristic of God, to give us gifts in surprising ways. And so, for example, she says that the proud, who are high up, will be scattered. The powerful will be thrown down, the lowly lifted up, the hungry fed, and the rich who are never hungry will be sent away with no food. The way things are going now will change because the gift is coming. And then she talks about the packaging when she talks about a child. And so Mary's gift is much greater than this, than it would seem in the packaging of this small child that will be born vulnerable and very human, because the gift is God, the one who will redeem, the one who will save. Now, I know when we think about gifts, even gifts that we give at Christmas and try to tie them in to a spiritual understanding, we think about the gifts that have been given through the centuries. We think about the gifts given by the wise men or the magi who brought them to Jesus, and therefore we give gifts. But the greatest gift we have is the gift that has been given to us, a Savior. I want to show you a little clip. We're going to go a little retro here. We're going to go a little bit backwards, back to claymation. And I want to just remind you about a fable, a modern fable around Christmas, and a gift that was given. Okay, I'm showing you this because I love the sheep. Watch for the sheep. Simple song that turns into a complicated story in this TV show years ago. And in the end, we have a boy who needs to give a gift. And the gift is given in humility. It's a fitting story, really, to talk about the gift that we receive in Jesus Christ. Because just as he gave a humble gift, but he gave it in awe of the glory of God, the gift that comes in Jesus Christ is one that is humble, but comes in an amazing, amazing power. And so even though we look at the vulnerability of a child and we want to be fixated on that during this holiday season, what we have in the word Savior is power and Lord and deliverer and preserver of life, and that's who God is. You know, in chapter 2, when the angels show up with the shepherds, they sing about that Savior. What they say is, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." There's an understanding that this package might be a child, but this is a Savior who will change your life. And Jesus raises up, he becomes an adult, and he begins to do just that. And people recognize him, not simply as a man who has some wisdom and knowledge and might be able to heal a few people, but as the Savior himself. There's this great story from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, where a woman is standing at a well in Samaria, and Jesus comes to her, and they have this very, very quick conversation. And she finds out in the midst of the conversation that she is standing with the Messiah. She accepts him, and in her excitement, she runs back to her village to tell people that she has met the one who knows all about her, the one who will save. Well, the people hearing this, they run to see who this person is. And after they see and talk with Jesus, this is what they say to the woman. It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. For the early church, there wasn't as much emphasis put on the nativity of Jesus. If you look at the letters past the Gospels in the Bible, all the letters that Paul writes and all the letters that come from different people, you will not find any more stories about the birth of Jesus. Because what they're concentrating on is the glory of the Savior. This is from the letter to Titus. It says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." We have been given a gift of God. It comes in the packaging of a small baby, but the power is amazing. We've been given a gift of divine power. It's the kind of power that we need to accept humbly, understanding that not everything in our lives comes under our own strength. That God has a power that reaches out beyond that. And Jesus lived this out for us, to show us what could be done. He went out to the people and he offered forgiveness for sins. For people who were broken, he said, it doesn't matter what's happened to you today or in the past, you are a new person today. Celebrate that. He offered healing for the sick, for those who were bowed down in ailments. He healed the healing for those who were sick of soul and of mind, casting out demons. He went on to teach in great wisdom and to let us know that God is a gift who offers us power through him. Now, I was thinking this week about the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and part of that is, if you're like me, you kind of go through some of those favorite shows, right? The favorite movies, the favorite Christmas shows around this season. And I was thinking about The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and it's a delightful show. And I started thinking to myself, why is this thing so popular? Now, part of it is, of course, the lovely drawings. Another part of it is the rhymes of Dr. Seuss, right? They're beautiful. But there's also something amazing to the storyline. So I started thinking to myself, I wonder if anyone has written about the psychology of the Grinch. And of course, wouldn't you know it, tons of people have. And so I found this article by a family therapist who without actually consulting with the Grinch, diagnosed him. Okay, so this is what the therapist said. Is that, okay, this person, or this Grinch, he must have suffered some type of childhood trauma. Now, if you watch the Jim Carrey version of the Grinch, I'm not recommending it, but if you watch it, it's got a little bit of a backstory. But the therapist said, okay, so the Grinch was either, you know, had some traumatic abandonment issue, or was bullied as a child, but anyway, grew up wanting to be loved and wanting to belong. And because he found himself in isolation, either by his own choosing or by others, who knows that backstory, but if he found himself in isolation, resentment grew in him, and he felt justified in doing hateful things. And so he decided that if he wasn't going to have any joy, then no one would, and he would create the circumstances in which there would be no joy. And so he did it. Or so he thought. And if you remember, what happens is he's about to dump those gifts over a cliff and to kill Christmas for good, he hears singing down in Whoville. And as the therapist would say, this is the amazing thing that happens. It's not just that his heart grows multiple times that day. What happens is he realizes that the people in Whoville, the Whos, are choosing not to have their feelings and their choices based on circumstances, but on something other than that. They choose love, they choose joy, and the circumstances don't matter. This is the gift that God gives us. It is a gift of deliverance that lifts us above whatever our circumstances are and reminds us that we may not be able to do everything, and in some cases anything, about the circumstances in this world, but that Jesus is there to embody that for us, to call us to repentance, to offer us healing, to make us whole, to help us to be the people that we are created to be, to give us a song when we don't feel like singing, to relieve our fear in the most frightening of times, to bring order and to remind us in the midst of the chaos of this life of God's faithfulness and constant love from the very beginning. God has delivered us in the packaging of Jesus from hopelessness and from fear, from rejection, and even from death. We have in God the perfect gift for life. Now I know that it's about the baby Jesus right now. I know that. And we have the nativities, and we're going to have a great nativity here on Christmas Eve at the 5 o'clock service. And you have your nativity scenes at home, and we remember and we sing songs about that infant Jesus. But this is ultimately what it's really about, that we have been given a gift for this life and a gift of life, and that is God. We may not need salvation as the people of Israel did from an oppressive government in Rome. But this is the kind of salvation that lifts us above whatever circumstances burden us in this world. And the packaging may be surprising, but it is powerful. We will find peace in a baby's cry. We will find strength to live our days in the vulnerability of an infant. And we will find purpose in a newborn life. Not only the newborn life of Jesus, but the life that we take on when we say yes to following this Savior in our lives. God has come. God has come in Jesus Christ, and we celebrate. And presentation is everything. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, Lord, you know the places in our lives where we're celebrating our own strength and power. And you know how tenuous that is. And Lord, you know the places of darkness where the light hasn't quite come in this holiday season. We ask that you might be the one who is power and sustenance for us. We ask that you be the gift of light. We ask that our hearts might be cracked open in these cold days to receiving the warmth of the child, this gift given. Amen.